Cavalcade of Kings. King Henry II, Episode 1. The cavalcade of kings rides on, and Henry II emerges from the blue mists of antiquity. Henry was born on March the 5th, 1133 at Le Mans. His mother was Matilda, heiress of Normandy and daughter of Henry I of England. He increased his power by marrying Eleanor of Aquitaine, the divorced wife of Louis VII of France, an heiress to a vast French territory. Henry II was crowned King of England at Winchester on the 19th of December, 1154, and immediately issued a charter confirming his grandfather's laws. He next banished the foreign mercenaries and demolished over 1,100 castles erected by the feudal barons in Stephen's reign. He drew up a series of new laws and reforms called assizes and introduced trial by jury. In 1163, Henry entered on the disastrous quarrel with the church, which terminated with the murder of Thomas à Becket, Henry's one-time friend and chancellor, whom he had elected to the high estate of Archbishop of Canterbury. At the moment, we find Queen Eleanor, a thoroughly wanton woman, making amorous advances to the young Thomas à Becket, then Chancellor of England.
My lady honors my poor house with her presence, but is she wise in doing so unaccompanied by her serving women?
I will go if I am unwelcome, sir.
Beauty is a welcome guest everywhere, madam.
Such gallantry is deserving of a reward. You may kiss my hand, my Lord Chancellor.
I would rather kiss...
Yes?
Forgive me, my lady. I forgot myself for a moment.
Let us both forget, Thomas. Forget everything. Not for a moment, but for an hour.
You tempt me sorely. Your eyes...
What can you see in my eyes?
An invitation which I find hard to refuse.
Then why do you refuse?
Because I am not prepared to pay the price for such a pleasure.
Would any price be too high to pay for such fame as I could bestow upon you, Thomas?
Yes, lady, when that price is my honor.
Bah, what is honor compared with fame?
Fame is something which can always be won, madam.
And honor?
Something that must never be lost.
He who dares to venture as far as his heart urges is a coward.
Bravery has no place where it can avail nothing.
Meaning?
Have you forgotten your husband, who is my friend as well as my king?
A wise man turns chance into good fortune. I offer you that chance now. The king matters not.
I do not understand.
No? Then I shall proceed to enlighten you. Suppose Henry died.
Your eldest son would succeed him on the throne.
Exactly. And as my son is not yet of an age, it would follow that I, his mother, would be appointed regent. Then England and our French possessions would be in the hollow of my hand. And you, Thomas...
would grieve with the nation at our king's death.
Or perhaps rejoice in the unlimited power which the queen could bestow upon you.
Madam is surely jesting.
Nay, I am serious. I hate Henry. Hate him with a bitter hatred.
'Tis an old adage which has it, that hell hath no fury like that of a woman scorned.
You refer, of course, to the king's peccadillo with the fair Rosamond.
Am I wrong in doing so?
In imagining I'm jealous of that insipid chit, yes. What have I to be jealous of? I, the most beautiful woman in England. Nay, my hatred of Henry is not the fruit of jealousy, but envy. I envy him his power, the power I shall one day smash. And you are going to help me smash it.
I think not, madam.
Not now, but later. Yes.
The king.
He must not find me here.
Quickly, madam, through this door. It leads to the sunken garden. Take the path to the left. Follow it, and you'll come to the river. My barge is waiting at the steps. It will carry you safely to the palace.
Thank you, Thomas. Farewell. We meet again.
She has gone. Power. Is that what I want too? I wonder. I wonder.
His gracious majesty, King Henry of England.
Oh, my Lord Chancellor, why so thoughtful? That's the guilty conscience which troubles you.
A guilty conscience? Nay, sire, I was but thinking. That was all.
And your thoughts were not pleasant ones. Come, up, Beckett, what were they?
I was thinking, sire, that wickedness allied to beauty is the devil's hook baited.
Hear him. Ye gods, what ails the man? Has some wench played you false? If so, why worry? Many roses grow upon the same bush.
And many thorns.
Well, a man must suffer for his pleasures, Sir Beckett. But we suffer gladly, whilst women remain the charming creatures that they are.
Woman would be more charming if one could fall into her arms without falling into her hands.
Oh, by the saints, I must remember that. 'Twas well said. Well, 'tis good to laugh. 'Tis the first time that I've done so today.
You have been worried by affairs of state, perhaps, sire?
Yes. The affairs of the clergy have added to my worries.
Your Majesty refers to the affair of the priest who committed that foul murder in Worcestershire?
Yes. I demanded the wretch delivered up to be tried in the same court and in the same way as any other murderer. The Archbishop refused and kept the man in the bishop's prison, which means that the fiend will be merely stripped of his orders and imprisoned for a short period, whereas he should be hanged like any other criminal.
The power of the church is unlimited.
Now, but I mean to curtail its power. And you're going to help me do it, Beckett?
I, your majesty?
Yea, have you not always supported me?
And always will, sire.
Then I will make you Archbishop of Canterbury. And, being devoted to me, you will help me correct the church and uphold my power against the power of the clergy.
What makes you think you can trust me so far, sire?
I have not forgotten how you once told the bishops that men of the church were equally bound to me with men of the sword. Aye, and I loved you as a brother for your loyalty to me.
You may grow to hate me, sire, as much as you now love me.
Not I. Thomas à Becket is the one man of all men in England to help me in my great design.
Thomas à Becket took a very serious view of his new office, changing his luxurious mode of living and becoming strict and austere. He abandoned the king's service for the people's, and a fierce quarrel broke out between Henry and his one-time friend. In 1164, à Becket was forced to sign the Constitutions of Clarendon, and later was forced into exile for 6 years, being recalled to the English court in 1170. No sooner had he landed in England than he began a new dispute with the king. At the moment, we find Henry and Eleanor with their knights and nobles at the palace. A messenger has brought news of Thomas à Becket from Canterbury, which angers Henry.
This is insufferable.
What has happened, Henry?
À Becket has discovered that our son Henry was secretly crowned when we were in dread of our kingdom being placed under an interdict by the Pope some time ago.
Well?
À Becket has persuaded the Pope to suspend the Archbishop of York who performed the ceremony, and to excommunicate the bishops who assisted at it. Even I am threatened.
It is indeed insufferable, but it is your own fault for raising such an ingrate to such a high estate as Archbishop of Canterbury. What reward has he given you for your generosity?
Baseness and treachery. That's my reward. Ye gods, will none of the cowards who eat my bread rid me of this turbulent priest?
Bishop.
Why do ye disturb me at vespers in the house of God?
My Lord Bishop, 4 knights and 12 men burst into your house but a moment ago. Not finding you there, they're on their way here to the cathedral. You are in peril. They mean to kill you. I implore you to fly whilst yet there is time.
And have them brand me a coward?
Then, my Lord, permit me to bolt the doors of the church.
Nay, my son, this is God's house and not a prison.
Follow me, thou son of the king! Where is the traitor, Thomas à Becket?
I am no traitor, but Archbishop and Priest of God.
You are our prisoner.
Do not lay a hand upon me, Fitzurse. Remember that you owe me fealty. What do you want of me?
The excommunication taken from the bishops, and you to answer for your offenses to the king.
The power of the church is above all earthly power, and even though I was threatened by all the swords in England, I would never yield.
Then we will do more than threaten. Strike the traitor down!
say a Becket was murdered at Vespers in the cathedral?
Yea, sire.
By whose hand?
By four loyal knights who fearlessly carried out your bidding. I was one of them.
Carried out my bidding? I gave no such orders.
Did you not call upon someone to rid you of the turbulent priest, sire?
But I never meant my words to be taken literally. Oh, God, it is foul, horrible. Such a fiendish crime will stink in the nostrils of my people. A Becket was once my friend. I loved him as a brother. We quarreled, but doubtless time would have set us aright. And now, oh, now, 'tis too late. Thomas, my friend, my friend, what can I do? What can I do to atone for the vile deed which has been perpetrated in my name?